Is your business stuck in one spot, struggling to grow? Our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator at winninggym.com/grow has your back. Sign up now for easy wins. No more struggle, just straight growth. You've got this. Now let's head on back to the show.
You are listening to the Built to Grow podcast, delivering the knowledge in all things fitness business. We help gym owners win. Here are your hosts, Tim Lyons and Randy Engston.
All right, welcome back to the Built to Grow podcast, your fitness business one-stop shop. all things. Joined by Randy Engston. What's up, man?
How are you doing, man?
That's such a big studio audience today. It's good to see everybody. Thank you. Thank you, guys. There's a sign in the back. There's a sign. Look at the signs. Look at the signs. Looks like college game day over here. All these people.
Yeah, fans. All the fans.
There's a streaker. Let him go.
Need like a Lee Corso helmet or a mask out of the day.
Yeah. Brutus the Buckeye.
The Buckeye. Yep.
Know all the mascots, guys. Know all the mascots.
That'd be a fun, yes. The next, maybe, Grow Summit, maybe the next. I'm going to find a way to challenge you. We're going to put you on stage. Maybe that's what we'll do.
I know them all, but I don't know them all because there's going to be something that snuck in. Like there's a new one, James Madison. I just saw that the other day. I'm like, nah, I don't know. They're ranked 25 in college football. I'm like, James Madison. I mean, it's got to be
some colonial or presidential. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know they're purpley and yellow, but I think, I don't know. It's weird because I can get like the visual on the helmet and then I could drill down onto the logo and then I can drill into the colors and then I could back out and be like, okay, that's a Falcon.
Yeah.
That's Bowling Green, right?
Yeah. Or for those listening, this is what's I mean, Tim and I have been friends for what, 2008?
Yeah.
Something like that, right after I moved out here. And, I mean, this has been an ongoing, developing challenge since then. I mean, he knows them all, guys.
And some of them change. Like, for example, Tulsa used to be the Golden Hurricanes or the Hurricanes, and Hawaii used to be the Rainbow Warriors. Now there's the Warriors.
Warriors.
It's like they change their names over time, too, so you got to be heads up on that.
It does happen, you know, the Washington football team.
Commanders. Commanders. All right, guys, got a good episode today. We're talking a little bit about the economy because this affects everybody. You know, even if you're listening overseas, you know, you're getting hit from all angles too. This is a global kind of like, I don't know.
Repercussion. I mean, it's affecting
everybody.
Global
issues going on. So like, listen, there was a video that we both saw. This guy was in Costco and he's like, look, I know everybody's saying 7-8% inflation, but like I was just here 4 months ago. This pack of rice was $7. Now it's $15.99. This bag of flour was $8.99. Now it's $14.79. It's like that ain't 7%. That's like 70%.
You know, it's really interesting. It's like value versus perceived value, right? It's like here's what they tell us, but here's what it actually equates to.
It's how you're feeling.
Exactly.
In real life.
Yeah. And by feel, it's the cash coming out of your pocketbook. You know what I mean? Like we don't have a choice of thinking it's 7% when you're paying 100% more for that same item.
Well, we mentioned this early in the pandemic years. We were getting 30% increases by everybody.
Every single vendor.
We were getting 30% here, 30% there. And so like, why they were saying 7-9%. By the way, it's been 8% has been the narrative for the last 4 years. It's like, or 3 years, 8%. No, that was 30%. You know, gas has gone up 42%. Like everything's in the 10s and 20s and 30s, not in the single digits for anything that I've seen in real life.
And here, we were talking about it kind of prefacing the show. It's one thing, you know, like we have to understand the conversation being had too, right? They're telling us certain things to make us feel like they're doing work and to make us feel like it's better. When you're going from quote unquote 8% to 7% and they're bragging about how they're lowering inflation.
Yep.
But we're four times what it's been over the last decade.
Yep.
That's not a win.
No.
We're still losing heavily, but it's just a little less pain in our pockets.
Right, and that's why you see interest rates going up, and you know, and which is weird because like in the U.S. housing market, it's weird because housing prices increased dramatically for the last 2 full years, and interest rates have continued to grow over the last 18 months or whatever. And I guess I'm just like estimating here. But what's supposed to happen is that the housing price is supposed to come down. Problem is that's a supply and demand thing.
Yeah.
But the difference is the inflation causes more dollars needed to buy the same thing even 2 years ago because the dollar's worth less.
Oh, I mean, I say to myself, like, to that same exact tune. I mean, I bought my house February will be 5 years ago. On paper, it takes almost two times the dollars to buy my house today than I did 5 years ago. My house hasn't appreciated in twice its value in that amount of time. There's nothing in, you know, that area that would dictate some kind of insane price increase like that. It's just
But everything's gone up.
And that's the thing. But yeah, because everything's, like the dollar has just gone to crap.
And so it's like, okay, well, your house is worth more, but then if you sell, you're going to have to buy a house that is also worth more. So you don't really win in the deal.
No. Right?
It's like, yeah.
Or you, and then you got to buy in at a rate that's four times what you paid.
And that's the other side of the coin, right? So I saw something just recently, the cost for the mortgage of a $500,000 house today is over $1,000 more than it just was a year ago per month.
The so average to own a median home, that report came out this week. So somewhere.
Does that mean everybody got $12,000 raises? No. And so what's funny is, none of this is funny, if I'm being honest. Like, what's interesting is, well, wages haven't kept up with inflation. So now the pressure goes on to employers to raise wages, which we have, and many of you have. Sure. But guess what else happens? You have to raise your prices to your consumer, and who ends up paying for it in the end? The consumer pays for all of it. So it's like, there was a vote here 2-3 years ago for a local election, and it was like the minimum wage was going to go up like $5, and everybody, it passed with like flying colors. Why did it pass with flying colors? Well, the people that were voting for it were not business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that law went into act, in the January, then there were signs on doors saying, hey, you know, we've increased the pricing. We've automated these tellers at the, McDonald's. We've raised the rates on the consumers. We've fired people and we've replaced them with automation. And then everybody was in an uproar. Well, what do you think is going to happen? Where the businesses are just going to
absorb
it? We're just going to eat it? No.
Those businesses don't have the ability to.
Right.
And like, that's what people don't understand. Unless you've been in that business and you understand the margins that it takes and like the profit that business walks away with at the end of the day, you can't add 30% to your payroll and expect there to be anything left in a lot of these businesses.
Right. Restaurants are lean, 10-12%. You know, the gym industry, 12-15%. You know, like if you raise 30% on all the wages, then it just eats into the profit. And guess what? They got to raise the top line revenue to let that trickle down. Duh, right? Like it doesn't take this isn't rocket surgery, right? You know what I mean? Yes. This is not rocket surgery.
Brain science.
Hey, are you a gym owner whose business is in full swing, pulling in at least steady 30K or more per month, and now you're ready to ask yourself, what is next? Well, the Iron Circle is ready to show you that path forward. As a part of our exclusive community, you'll be surrounded by like-minded, success-driven gym owners just like you, who are taking their businesses to the next level. Visit our website, ironcircle.net, to apply to be a part of the next Iron Circle group and let us turn your successful gym into a thriving fitness legacy. All right, let's get back to the show.
So it's just common sense. So the question becomes like, now with you've been feeling it. You've been feeling it at the grocery store, the gas station, the housing market, the interest rates are all over the place. And now your customers are also feeling it from there. And so now you got this fine line. What do? Do you raise rates and have people leave? And now you're stuck with less revenue? I mean, it's a sticky situation.
Very much so.
So if you're in a business right now that's running a profit, congratulations, that's good, right? That's kind of the idea. What are you doing with those profits to, one, reduce your taxable income, but two, to also hedge against continued inflation? The Fed just came out. We're going to continue to raise rates. I think it's at over 8% for a 30-year mortgage today. It was literally, it wasn't even 2 years ago now. It was 3%. It's wild what's happened, right? Well, Tim, why is there inflation? Well, when the government spends money and just writes checks for the war, writes checks to Ukraine, writes checks to social programs, because people are up in arms about stuff and they start writing checks and they created the dollars that didn't exist. Well, when there's more dollars out in the market, each dollar is worth less. That's just the way it works.
Yep.
So that's called inflation. And so now the Fed raises interest rates to get more of that money back, to actually slow a little bit of the spending. And it's supposed to make some of the prices come down, which not happened.
That did not happen at all right now.
And so here we are. Here we are in a situation where your dollar's worth less, everything costs more.
And it costs you more to borrow.
So you've got to do something to have your dollars grow in, hopefully, you know, in some investments that you have out in the on the sidelines, or real estate, etc. Bitcoin, fuck, that's flying right now. I don't know if that's a smart play. gold was always the hedge against inflation. Sure. I just don't see it. Like, I mean, it's supposed to have moved way higher than it has, and it's just being artificially suppressed for some reason. I don't know what's happening. There's a lot of things at play that are going on behind the scenes that we don't know anything about.
Well, I mean, along the lines there, I mean, just the global opinion of the dollar. And, you know, having countries back out of using the dollar as their standard and things like that, that does impact how the relation around that versus gold, that versus other commodities, all of those things compare. So,
hey, Nick, what's the spot price on an ounce of gold right now? Look it up for us. Yeah. So, like, it was $1,600 for years. And then, like, probably 3 months ago, it was shot up about over 2,000, and it stayed there for about 48 hours and then dropped back down to the 1900s. And I think this week it's back around 2000. But let's think about this for a second. If you're growing and shrinking at, like, what is $100 over 2000?
50%, right?
No, $100 over 2000. That's like 1978. See, it's back down below 2000. It's 1978 today. So it's like it bounces around. So even if it went from 1600 to 1900, what is that? $300 over 16. So whatever the math says, I don't know, a fifth, that's 20%. You invested at 16, it's worth 19. You've grown your dollars by 20%, but the inflation they say is 8. That ain't it. It's 30, 40, 50%. So, like, you're still not winning there.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, this is, I'm glad you kind of did that math too, because this isn't a situation where it's like, how good is next year going to be? The conversation is, am I going to be open at the end of the 2022-4? This is an opportunity. Like, this is so severe and such a real thing that if gym owners aren't competent and paying attention to this, their doors will be closed. The cost of doing business is surpassing the ability for you to pass that on to the consumer. Where do we make up those dollars, right? And that's...
To me, it's real estate. It always has been real estate.
Diversifying that income.
Well, I think if, like, for example, we have a couple of Iron Circle members. One's just buying. They close this week. Teresa and Justin close on their building.
8th, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so they're closing this week on their building, and that's a life-changing move. When you build, like, you know, it wasn't like a $300,000 building. It's like a $3.5 million building. Good for them. Like, right, I think it's huge. It's opportunity for them. So they're getting in at today's rate, right? Obviously, they have a better deal because of some of their farms and stuff. But, like, the value of that building today at $3.4 million, I think it's a 3.1 or 3.4 something right now. If inflation continues to where this goes, that's going to be a $4 million building. Yeah. They're going to have grown their wealth or their assets by $800,000-$900,000. Because they just had their money parked in the building.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's one of the few ways and few places that's a positive return for somebody. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that in a CD. You're not going to do that in your traditional savings accounts. You're not going to do it in most investments, traditional forms of investment, you know, market and things like that. Crypto, even. You're playing way high risk there, right?
Really high.
So, like, real estate is one, and it's always been kind of known as one of the safer, if you may, places to put your money, but with everything that's happening right now, it's almost like the perfect storm compared to everything else. It is one of the only places I think that's going to give you back.
If you could afford the payments or if you have the cash to dump in it, I would not be having cash in my bank account.
It's absolutely useless.
I would put it into real estate. Real estate is undefeated over time.
Yes.
You can lose in real estate if it's a high and a low and you buy high, sell low in like 1 year, whatever. You hold that for 10 years, you're not losing. It's undefeated.
Yeah.
And here's how I know it's undefeated. It's always going to be undefeated. The reason real estate goes up and so many, you know, obviously supply and demand plays into the short term, but the long-term cycles of real estate are based on the fact that the government's going to continue to spend money.
Yep.
And taxes are going to continue to increase. If we know those two things are going to be true, which it, for the entire history of the government, that's always been true.
Yeah.
Your best bet is real estate, period. And, you know, and real estate could be from residential or commercial. It could be land. It could be anything, right? It could be developments. It could be ranches. It could be, you pick it. Real estate's real estate.
And again, if it's a difference between having it sit in a savings account or buying a parcel that's not actually, you know, it's not turning cash flow or something like that, you're probably still better off buying something that's not going to cash flow you money today, but it's going to accrue that equity over time that is the only place it's surpassing the.
Well, look, I'm no real estate expert. I mean, I'm the furthest thing from it, but I understand principles. And if you're going to buy into real estate, especially if you have a physical structure, you're winning at four different games. Like if you can win with cash flow if you can rent it, but like piece of land, very few things you can do to get cash flow off of that unless you rent it out to campers or something like that. But you're winning the cash flow game. You're winning the appreciation game. You're winning the depreciation game. And you're winning the tax game, like all of those games. And you can wipe out years of tax liability with one great deal.
Yeah.
And that's why all the biggest billionaires in the world all have real estate. And many of them became billionaires because of real estate. I mean, many of them are in tech now.
Sure.
But like the historical wealth creation has been always in real estate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, 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 Tim Lyons here. Look, I know running a gym day in and day out can be a challenge. It's often hectic and stressful, but remember, you are not alone. And if you ever feel weighed down by the pressure and you're searching for a lifeline, we've got just the thing. I would love to invite you to our 8-week ProFit Business Accelerator program at winninggym.com/grow. Listen, it's designed to give you tangible results. It transforms your struggle into sustainable growth, and it is a game changer for so many gym owners out there. Again, that's winninggym.com/grow. Check it out, and let's turn those day-to-day challenges into triumphs. All right, now let's get back to the show.
Other than obviously diversifying or going elsewhere, what do you think about within the four walls of the business, like some of the things that we could do to combat losing money month over month?
Well, you got three ways to make more money, and you could also decrease expenses. So it's like you could either charge more. You know, look, guys, there's people that are still going to have money regardless of the economy. They've played the game better.
Sure.
So don't be afraid. Like people are just not going to show up. People still need health. They need help working out. They need, you know, all these things. I really think there's room for high ticket. In all of this situation, a couple great high ticket sales per month can change everything, right? Yeah. And what I mean by high ticket is I'm calling that $4,000 or $5,000 a sale, right? Like you can do $4,000 or $5,000 sales. That's $20,000. That's $240,000 a year if you do that every month, right? I mean, obviously you're gonna have some highs and lows. That's a great way. You mentioned it before. You can only raise your rates so much, before you're gonna have a mass exodus. Mm-hmm. So. Can you raise your rates 30%? Depending, if you're sitting at $100 a month, you probably could raise into 130, right? I mean, you could. Hopefully you're not sitting in that in the lower, but some gyms are. You're listening to this, you're like, I'm at 129. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, you could probably raise your rates 30% and not really get a whole lot of pushback.
Well, the goal there is obviously you're not losing 30% of your clientele, right? So as long as you're exceeding... You know, closing that loss, exceeding those losses, you should be winning at the end of the day. But there's risk and reward. You know, there's pros and cons all of that. Now, maybe you do appreciate running a little bit leaner or a little bit more streamlined business, less people, less focus, but you're doing it at a little higher rate. I think that should kind of always be somewhat of a thought for a business owner.
You got to always be thinking, and here's something else you should be doing at least once a quarter, if not once a year. You got to throw these P&Ls on the table. In fact, you probably should just print out your whole general ledger of all the expenses and line item it.
There you go.
You may want to do like a general ledger of per month, or you could just run the whole thing. My account, she just likes to give me the 5,000 sheets. And it's like, good luck, right? But there's times I'll go through there. I'm like, what is this fee?
And
I'll go again the next month. Here it is again. What is it? And then I'll start digging in. A lot of times they'll put their phone number on there. I'll call it. I'm like, what
service is
this? We canceled this. You know, I've gotten refunds back. We're like, oh yeah, we forgot to cancel. Like, you got to be heads up on this stuff, right?
Sure.
That's a good use of your time, especially towards year end, is taking a look at all your expense lines.
Yeah.
Are you paying for software not using? Are you double paying for subscriptions that you didn't realize you had two different audio or music subscriptions? I don't think there's any room to not prepare for raising rates or wages, because your employees are getting hit from all the ends too, and they're getting squeezed, and they're going to be looking at you as the employer to be like, hey, I need more money. It's like, okay, but can the business afford it, and can we bring in more money? Like, there's all these equations you got to run. And then other profit centers. I mean, again, you'd always want to go through that 5-question matrix that we always talk about, like, you know, do I believe in it? Can I sell? Is there margin? Can I service it? All this stuff. But other than that, what else do you really got? You got some profit centers, raise rates, high ticket, cut expenses.
Yeah, I think, depending on like any business, right? Like, the business as a whole is like a system. You've got so many different things that you can change to make an impact on whether it makes you more money or
levers.
Yeah, exactly, right? And in some, you know, let's say it's retention that's a problem. Okay, maybe we spend the next 3 months focused on how to keep clients longer, which is going to add more money to the P&L at the end of the year. All of these things should be in your understanding, right? You should know the levers you can pull and can adjust and things like that as a business owner. There are things in, I mean, operational capacity. You know, maybe you've got somebody doing something that just takes way more time and energy and effort than it should be. Maybe we alter that somehow. You know, maybe you bring in automation instead of having 2 front desk people, and you can trim that to a half a person or something, you know, or a part-timer. I don't think you can cut people in half yet. But you know what I mean? Like, that's the joy of being a business owner. The joy, say, you know, like, it's fun. But it doesn't have to be miserable. You know what I mean? And I think that the reason that we're doing this podcast is so that you know some of those things that you have available. You can use those things today as opposed to when it is going to hurt. You know, like when your back's against a wall and you're trying to figure out how to pay rent next month because all of these things continued and you didn't do anything about it. This is one of those episodes. It's kind of like a little, you know, Hail Mary for you. We're just throwing it out there, like, get you to think a little bit deeper on this is the state of how things are. This is what you as a business owner can do for yourself to not only just survive, but maybe thrive. You know, there is some opportunity in the chaos. What can you do differently? Much like when we went through with, you know, the pandemic and things like that, at the end of next year, you know, while new businesses will be starting, if things continue on this path, it's going to be a harder economic situation for every business. And I think that we're going to lose more and more of those that aren't competent business owners, you know, that don't have their eye on their numbers, that aren't, you know, they're getting hit with bills and they're like, oh, I didn't see that one coming. Well, why didn't you, type of thing, And so this is your kind of wake up call. Like, this is the severity of what the business and the next year could look like. Plus, I mean, hell, we're going into an election year. We never know what's going to happen.
Well, expect something to happen, because it never doesn't. Something wild is going to happen. Obviously, this war broke out. Nobody saw that coming, right? I mean, we knew something was going to happen, and that's the start of it. Who knows what else is going to happen? So anyways, keep your head on a swivel. Keep your weight on the balls of your feet. Be ready to move in any direction and attack when you can attack. And also, you know, take care of get your house in order type of stuff. And I mean, that's all you can do at this point. So hopefully this gets your wheels turning a little bit, maybe get you to settle back in and maybe refocus on, you know, look, we're towards the end of the year. You got couple months left. You can make 2024 a big year.
Hell yeah.
There's going to be winners and losers next year, regardless. There's always a winner and there's always a loser. So
yeah, but the losers are going to be the ones that are, you know, doing these things at the end of the year, trying to save grace instead of preparing for the forecast of what we see coming. I mean, this is just a continuance of what we've been going through, and right now you have the opportunity to make decisions that are going to benefit your next year, as opposed to getting hit by it and sidelined.
Exactly. Head on a swivel. All right, that's it for this episode. Until next time, keep changing lives. We'll see you on the next show. Bye.
All right, and thank you for listening to that episode of the Built to Grow podcast, where we help gym owners win. Now, do you want to connect with me and other gym owners online? All you need to do is join our private Facebook group, Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. Just head on over to Facebook and type in Business Talk with Fitness Professionals. And when you do, we're going to give you our 10 marketing strategies 7-figure gym owners use to win. I look forward to seeing you in the next episode. Until then, keep building something great.